Blog Talk Radio.
We get closer, closer to the end. Getting closer to the second coming. The blood of the king.
Blood of the king. Wish I could've walked with them, wish I could've talked with them. They did them awful, but it was lawful. Curse is the man I ain't give on a tree. He was made a curse for you and me. The blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the 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 blood of the king.
Get your life together, I'ma see y'all coming back, y'all. Detaching from the things of the world, ain't looking back, y'all. Descendants of his bloodline, the reason they attack, y'all. Come back to the covenant, the truth, and that's a fact, y'all. They put them thorns up on his head, gave him a roll. Cause he our high priest, they ain't even know. They wrote the king of the Jews on his stone. Give all praise to the ancient old. He coming back out, you can't see the prophecy. And every man will get rewarded for their deed. He gave his life, he gave his blood for you and me. So bow down to your king. Messiah coming back with healing in his wings. He went to hell, he still prevailed, he took the key. We don't deserve to be alive, so it's your need. Bow down to the blood of the king.
Blood of the king,
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 blood of the king.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom, family. Look out this window, see if the door to Shabbat been open yet. Not quite yet. Shalom, I'm your brother, Ariel, once again, bringing you Iblis culture by the way of Kol Elohim, here out of Baltimore, Maryland, out of the congregation of Beth Yahweh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With my fourth installment, family, of Fathers Love Your Children. Children, love your fathers. So long for a minute. Somebody is calling, they shouldn't be calling. No better than that. Shalom again, no family. Let me open up with a prayer and a benediction. And we can get into our word tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Yah, once again, for bringing us to the Shabbat door, Abba. Thank you for bringing us here, Father. Thank you for allowing us to get here, Father. Those who made it here, Father. Those who did not let go, Father, during the trials and tribulations, Father, during the just alone, Father, that they struggled to get to your Shabbat, Father. I ask you to give them an extra blessing, Father, to continue to deal with those of us who may be struggling mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in any way, Ariya, that you continue to hold their hands and continue to, as you just read, as I just read in your word, Psalms 139, that you searched the kidneys, Father, that you kept the kidneys, Father. We ask and thank you, Father, that you continue to keep us, Father, to continue to move us forward towards that mark, Father, that you let none of us go, as you said through Yahushua, your son, that he shall not lose one, Father, We thank you for that, Father, that steadfastness, that loving commitment that you have committed towards us, Father. Father, give us the strength to commit the same love, the same steadfastness towards you, Father, and towards one another. Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. My glass on, man. Hold on. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to take that I'm coming through clearly because I didn't get no text saying I'm not, so I'm going to continue on with Yahweh's word and commend those who continue to try to walk in righteousness. And I'm going to put it that way, those who just tried to walk in righteousness. Because as we all should know by now that they have been walking this way, even if you just started, it's not easy. It's not easy trying to walk in righteousness. Righteousness is not easy, Todaki. Trying to show a darkened world the mighty one, Abba Yah. Trying to show people who are damaged, Abba Yah, us being damaged ourselves. You know, we in the hospital, so to speak, we on the road of recovery, we on the road of not being damaged, moving away from what life and what this world has done to the human experience. That's the best way I could put it, the human experience. And, you know, I always give my experiences when I'm working in a hospital, just week alone, you know, that we all have experiences within the 1 week. You'll be amazed what 1 week, what a human being could go through within 1 week from one Shabbat to another Shabbat. And you got all that time and that we have all these different experiences that we go through trying to get to the Shabbat, trying to get through that door to be able to put down some things. And some of us put down things and some of us don't. And some carry these burdens on the Shabbat. You know, Abba wish we wouldn't, but we do. It's the human experience, right? The human experience. And my human experiences is no different than anyone else's. You know, I had to really pray and ask Abba to strengthen me just before I came on. You know, normally I do something different. I'm listening to my playlist and trying to calm my spirit, trying to move my spirit to a certain place so I can hear Abba without all these distractions around me and almost like in the meditative can hear. But when your heart is heavy and this human experience, and it's hard to hear Abba. It's hard to hear Abba. Abba says a broken and contrite heart. You know, it's there, but it ain't listening. And it's like hard for Abba Yah to penetrate that. It's not until he or she focus on strictly Abba and be able to close out all the surrounding noise, you know, which in your various arts. You have your martial arts, you know, your dancing, and even in your sport, whatever you're training for. You try to get into a meditative mode, right? Move. So you can focus on this one thing. It's no different than trying to hear Abba's voice, right? You remember the demonstration that we had before about going up and down the line? Remember you had to go to the radio and you had to turn that dial and you were all this static and stuff, and you hear something, you get something, the lower clarity, and then you got to try to fine tune that line and trying to catch that station. That's a human experience, right? That was one of the best demonstrations you can get, I believe. Brother Yaki L did at him or Rabbi Grayson McDaniel, one of our spiritual leaders, gave us that demonstration. And it was a beautiful demonstration. And think about, even when you hear all that they station. They are other stations, but because Canada that we may have or the area that we in, we can't pick it up. But if you have something powerful, every turn you'll turn into another radio station. Every letter, every number with the hertz and all that up and down, if it's on there, it's a radio station. If you can go up and down and hear nothing but radio station. But because we may be not in the same area, able to pick up that radio station. But that's the human mind. The human mind is that antenna trying to catch Abba. We're going up there. And the human experiences, we going in and out about our days, and we interacting with our spouses, we interacting with our coworkers, we interacting with our brothers and sisters, we interacting with just people, period, strangers, all through the day. Everybody is on their own channel. Everybody on their own channel. Everybody have a station, and very few or very seldom that you catch someone on the same station that you are. Right? The same wavelength, the same mind, hearing from the same mighty one. And it's funny because being down in university, I hear all day long, I talk to people about the word all day long. And I have conversations about the word all day long. Even though I'm talking to them, I know that we're not on the same station. I know that. But they got a little static, right? It's like, but you can still hear something in the background, you know, but I still talk to him, you know. And one of the things that one brother, every time I see him, you know, how you feeling, home? I'm blessed, highly favored. Oh yeah, amen, hallelujah, amen, amen. How you? I'm all right. I'm doing all right. You know, so with him, one incident, little baby, somebody came in. And I think a two-year-old was unconscious, and the family running him in the hospital. So you got the rapid response team and doctors, nurses, everybody running over the little two-year-old unresponsive. They pumping on him, doing a CPR on him. And, man, I'm standing there. We watching it. And he get the, Jesus. And I'm trying to fade to black at that moment. I'm trying to slide away from him because I didn't want none of that to jump on me. But just to give an example of, we're not on the same station, because he went into what he called tongues. And I know that the Bible don't speak tongues. That ain't what you're talking about, tongues. And his brother Chabal would say he should have put a Hyundai. You know, that's not it. You know, that's not it. You know, but you talking to someone, and they claiming to hear the Most High, but they don't have the right antenna, and the antenna is Yahushua HaMashiach. Yeah, even when you have Yahushua HaMashiach, that does not mean that you ain't going to hear, that there won't be times and days that you are not going to hear. And if not, that there's a disconnect with him, because there's nothing wrong with his antenna. He always has a clear line straight down. It's us and the things that we go through in this human experience that our thought cloudy out. Spirit get heavy and things just go haywire in that mind, and we are all over the place. And that happened to me. that I wanted to call Rabbi early this morning. I told Brother Harvey and Brother Murray out there, I don't feel like teaching. My spirit ain't in the right place. My spirit feel too heavy to teach. I didn't want to teach. But then, I did not want to just not teach. I just wanted to soak in this little foolishness into my mind, right? You can tell what you want to do. I got to be honest, right? If we going to conquer this human experience, we got to be honest about this human experience. We even got to be honest about when it says we all done read it, we all done heard it, and yes, right, come to God. That's right. But when that cost come, that bill collect to come every now and then, and life experiences hit, and you like, what in the world I done got myself into? And you hear the adversary, he whispering in your ear, and not just whispering in the ear, he's making moves. He's moving against you. He's moving towards you, right? And he's setting things up in a line. If you play checkers, whatever, it is a strategy to being a believer. If you can understand that, it is a strategy in being righteous, if you can understand what I'm saying. And both sides strategizing. Abba is allowing Hillel to strategize. He's strategizing. And guess who else strategizes? The believer. We are. Because what Adam and Hawa chose, they chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we experience both. We got to experience good and evil. And once again, old Abba Yah, he sits back and he just moves his hands off of us and choose good. Choose good. Choose the Torah. Choose me. Oh, Lord, look at this. They ain't choosing me. And they chose something else. All right, that's all right. That's all right. Let them be. Let them be. Let them be. Just like that father walking behind or the mother walking behind that child riding that bike for the first time or walking for the first time. You ever walk behind your child when they walking for the first time and they go this way, they toddle this, toddle that way, and every way they toddle, you right there with hands out, do-do-do, making sure when they fall, you're right there to pick them up. And that's Abba Yah. He, whatever. We going to the left, we going to the right. He's right there with that hand to give us a little nudge or holding on the back of that bike seat when your baby riding for the first time, the helmet, the knee pads, the arm pads. If we could have, we would have put shoulder pads and helmet, football pads on them. We would have protected them all the way around the board if we could have. But sometimes as parents, we know that they have to fall. We know that they got to mess up. So the next time, you know, when I lean that corner, I won't lean all the way and this pedal won't hit the curve. We learn. We actually learn from our mistakes. And we learn from our hardship. We learn from what Abba Yah allows us to go to. And at the end of the day, he wants us to turn to him. Turn to me. Turn to church. Matter of fact, you want a little bit of healing? Go on my word. And for me, Psalms 139. I just love Psalms 139. I love how it reads. I love the intimacy. Not saying that the rest of the word is intimate, not, but for me, and we all have our own, the intimacy of that song, right? The intimacy of it. And how what David was feeling and what he was going through and what he talked about in that song is intimate. And regardless of what type of parent you were, what type of parent you are, you would never be able to say what Abba Yah says about us through Dawid, through his son. And if you have an ear through Yahushua HaMashiach. There's no way you can go on this planet Earth in some sense when David was talking about that. I don't know where you at. There's not even a thought that we can have that Abba Yah don't know. That we can't have a thought that he don't know. He says, I see your thoughts afar. I tell you, Lord, here, to not just read over the word, but just to ponder, to meditate, to really shema each word, each letter, as it's being said. Just don't read over it. Just hear it. Meditate on that. That Abba says he knows our thoughts afar off. Afar off. Person's mind blowing. To the average believer, it's mind blowing. Regardless of believer, non-believer, to the average person, that is mind blowing. Because guess what? We don't even know our own thoughts at times. But Abba says, way before that entered into that physical body, I saw. And I knew the actions that you was going to take. I knew the route that you was going to take. I knew what you was going to say. I knew everything. I even knew and understand the little calculating thought that you have trying to pull the wool over, whoever you pulling the wool over, and sometimes even ourselves. And in those moments, we don't think that Abba Yah is listening because we're so caught up in all those other stations, right? That antenna just going up and down the dial, and the mind is just racing, and at times you just stop, settle down, center yourself. But Abba knows. He knows everything about it. And I was just going to read Psalms 139, but in y'all spare time, y'all read Psalms 139. I want to go through what Abba Yah gave me tonight. But Psalms 139 is a beautiful psalm, man, I'm trying to tell you. I know some of y'all may have read it, but don't just read it. Look up the words. Stop. Look up the words in the regular dictionary. Look up the word in the Strong's Concordance. Then you will be surprised what you find underneath that. It's not just talking about what we read right there now. You will be surprised what you find. Each word, just stop when he said, I'll do this. When you was born, I know the members of you. You was wonderfully made. My inward part. Look all them things up. Look up what he meant when you about the kidneys and the function of the kidneys. Just look all these things up, and really get the intimacy of what Abba is trying to convey to us, trying to tell us, It would just have you like bliss. That's the best word I could say, bliss. It would have you like that husband and wife coming together and that intimacy that they had. That's the same relationship y'all want out of us. That same relationship. That same intimate relationship. And when you read for me, Psalm 139, you hear the intimacy from Abba and what he took place. I remember Rabbi Gershon McDaniel, how he would say when his wife would leave and when she come back, how he would take care of her. You know, and being young in the faith, even being the younger man that I was probably like 15, 20 years ago, at the, between 15 and 20 years, and the foolish of the, I think, like, no, sir, no, sir. Mm-hmm. But what he was showing was Abiyah. When she would run off, she would come back, he'd say he would get clean sheets, fresh, brand-new sheets, put on the bed, just shower her with love. You know, every time he would do that. And I'm like, no, sir. In my foolish thinking, right, in my mind, like, man, I hear you, Rabbi. I'm listening to you. And you're a strong brother, not understanding that he was showing Yahweh. He was being Yahweh to her, as what Yahweh does to us each and every time we step away, each and every time we do something that we don't supposed to do, and then we come to our senses, as Scripture says about the prodigal son, and we turn towards him, and as the father saw him afar off, he runs to him. That's Abiyah. So he was giving us life, spiritual lessons throughout his life. Always throughout his life. Always. He would, every time, he did that. He was, what the subtitle of this is, he was about his father's business. And that's what we be going through today, about my father's business, you know. About my father's business. My father's business. So let's get into it. So again, I want to commend those who strive to live a righteous life, because it's not easy. I try to tell you. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. And we will be reading out the Strong Concordance tonight. Let me go to my opening, Malachi 4:6. You know, we started at 4:4, matter of fact, and we'll read 4:4. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel, laws and right ruling. Remember that, family. Remember that. See, I am sending you Eliyah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with utter destruction. And when I come, you know, it's amazing how these translations try to just throw off just by placing words. Because he is coming. This is a prophecy that's going to take place. The Father, the Spirit of Eliyahu, going to rest on brothers and sisters, brothers for the most part, and they're going to move upon Yisrael. They're going to move upon the children of Yisrael. It's going to move upon, matter of fact, it's going to move the rest on sisters and brothers. Because it's going to move upon the children of Israel, and it's going to move upon the fathers of Israel to turn towards one another, to understand that we need one another. And that's what that spirit is going to do. And it's so much more that the spirit of Eliyah is supposed to do in these last days. It is a rebuilding spirit of Israel. It is a reconciliation of Israel. He's building the altar of Israel, the spirit of Eliyahu, who is going to move on the children of Israel in these last days. And you'll be able to see that in the world. Those who are turning back to to the old path. See, if you belong to Abba Yah, you ain't with this new foolishness that's out here. And anything goes. There's no priesthood. There's no leadership. There's just, we can jump up and pick up the Bible and read it for ourselves, and we don't have to do that. No, that's that new foolishness. That's the wrong station. You're on the wrong station. The station that Abba Yah says that is going to be a turning back of the children to the fathers, and we did and know and understand that the fathers is the priesthood, the elders of Yisrael. And we know and understand that the elders of Yisrael should always show Yahweh, as we just talked about our dear beloved Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, the dying of oneself for the children. We talked about that all that. But we don't want to get caught up with this new foolishness. I can do it for myself. There's no order in Yisrael. This scripture is letting us know that order must come back to Yisrael. That's why we start at 4. Remember the Torah of Moshe, servant Yahweh. Remember that. Starts off with that. Turn back. We must go back to the old path and show in this world, in these last days, the nation of Yisrael and how it was when we was at Mount Horeb. While we read about Mount Horeb last week, and all the nation of Yisrael said, we will do. There's nothing new with the new covenant, but the Holy Spirit is given to help us. Matter of fact, we're going to read that. We're going to go to 31:31, Jeremiah 31:31. No. And this is a future prophecy here, family. This is a prophecy that takes place when? Before the great and awesome day, or for others, before the great and terrible day. All depends on what antenna you listening to or what spaceman you listening to. Or you got a lot of static going on in your station, and it ain't coming through clear. Go to Jeremiah 31 and follow this, family. Follow this. Follow the way Abba takes them. And remember the subtitle of this, My Father's Business. Last week we talked about, we went through the first covenant and all the things that Abba Yah expects of us, and all the things that we said we would do. Now we're going to go through the renewed covenant. See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Yisrael. It's a renewed covenant, right? See, again, there's little words that these translators insert, a new covenant, right? And it just throws people off. They're all on some other station now. Even though within the wording of this scripture, because you can go into Hebrews 8, I believe, Hebrews 8:8, and it will tell you about the renewed covenant. But if you read it from the King James, it will say a new covenant, right? It's something renewed. Renewed is not something sprinkling brand new all over. It's taking what it is, and you know what? I gotta fix it up a little bit. I gotta maybe add something to it or take something from it. I gotta fix it up. It ain't nothing new, but you will hear that throughout the world. All these people on the wrong station. Talking about, I'm under the new covenant. And then at the same time, they will disconnect. Think about that, family. The mind will disconnect what Abba says, even though they're reading it. Because they don't read too different in the New Testament, quote-unquote New Testament. It don't read too different. It still says, I will make a new covenant, if you want to use that, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And they will disconnect that and put Christian there or any other thing that who believes they under a new covenant. The human experience, though, the thought that we have, right? Jeremiah 31, 31 again. See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Yisrael and with the house of Yahudah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I strengthened them, that strengthened their hand to bring them out of the land of Mizraim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yahweh. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Yisrael after those days, declares Yahweh. I shall put my Torah in their inward part and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. The word plainly says, I'm going to put my Torah in you. How? I know how, because I was there one time too. But if we just listen to it, that the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to take my Torah and I'm going to put it in them. I'm going to take the law, statutes, and judgments through my spirit, and I'm going to put it in them. The evidence of us having the spirit of Yah or the Holy Spirit is that we keeping his law, statutes, and judgments. Am I stretching it? Is that a little bit out of bounds or something? Say it again. The evidence that we have the Holy Spirit is that we're keeping his Torah. There's no other evidence that we can say. You cannot say that the Spirit spoke to me that you were Holy Ghost filled if you ain't keeping the Torah. Say that. Same thing of a Holy Ghost. Excuse me for that. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. You can't say you Holy Spirit filled and keeping Torah. There's no way you can do that. Because Abba said he's going to put that in you to cause you to keep his law, statutes, and judgments. But again, you have millions of people on the wrong station. Millions of people on the wrong, listening to the wrong mighty one. Amen. We're going to go to our Luke family, Luke 2. We just want to read the little story of what Yahushua said he was about his father's business. We're going to go to Luke 2, starting at. We're going to read the whole story, starting at 41. And this is the festival of Pesach and unleavened bread for those. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the festival of Pesach or Passover for those who don't know what Pesach is. It might be someone online who just don't know, right? And another thing that we were taught from our beloved leader is you teach as somebody don't know. Someone may not know. And here at Beth Yahweh, for since I've been a member, we don't want nobody to be ignorant. We want everybody to know and to understand Abba Yah's word. And if you have questions, as has been always stated, please send them online. And you have a course of Morays. You have a course of Morays. And with all of them and the Spirit of Yahweh, your question will be answered, if it's Yahweh's will. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the practice of the festival. When they had accomplished the days, as they returned, The child Yahushua stayed behind in Yerushalayim, and his parents did not know it. But thinking he was in the company, they went a day's journey and were seeking him among the relatives and friends. And not having found him, they returned to Yerushalayim, seeking him. And it came to be after 3 days that they found him in a set apart place, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Again, I like to use my imagination. And I don't know, my imagination is vivid, you know. Brother Harvey Lamar, I tell you. I got this little African brother just sitting there, little black brother with a little afro sitting there and just asking questions. I can't tell you how he looked, but in my mind, I just see a little afro, and he's sitting there asking questions. Got his little thobe on, his little sandals, and he's sitting among the elders, asking and listening. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. And having seen him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? See, your father and I have been anxiously seeking you." And he said to them, "Why are you seeking me? Do you not know that I had to be in the matters of my father's?" But they did not understand the word which he spoke to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these matters in her heart. And Yahushua increased in wisdom and stature and favor with Elohim and men. When you're about your father's business, that's what will happen to you. Regardless, that's what will happen to all of them. And it ain't just Kohanim that's supposed to be about their father's business. It's each and every person that stood up or took that dip and said, "Yes, I do." You have a responsibility to always uplift Yahushua HaMashiach and teach when there's a teaching moment. You don't run out there teaching all the time. When there's a teaching moment, when you're asked a question and someone needs a little understanding, by all means, you give them that understanding. You leave them with some understanding. You leave them with a little bit of Yahushua. You know, they then came into the presence of Yahushua. And that's each and every person, not just the Moreis, not just the Kohanim, but each and every person who took the dip, because the dip recognized, the baptism shows that we went down, whoever we were, we come up a renewed creature, and now we're walking in the stead and trying to live as Yahushua lives. So when people see me, see you, he, her, whoever, they see Yahushua, and they get left with a little piece of Yahushua. Hopefully, whatever station they on, turning that dial towards Yahushua. And if not, we just be seed. Seed sower. Back to, we're going to go to Lewi real quick, because this is a part of being about his father's business. This ain't going to be long tonight, family. Lewi, that is Leviticus 10. Starting at verse 10. And this is one of the things that Abba was telling Moshe to tell the sons of Levi, the Kohanim, do what they should do. This is one of their business. This is one of their things that they are charged with. Again, it always trickled down, though. It starts with the Kohanim, but it trickles down to the whole nation of Yisrael. The whole nation of Yisrael has a responsibility to be about their father's business. The whole nation. Trust me, when that scripture says those who know, gonna get beat with many stripes. He talking about the Koinonim. But those who don't know gonna be beaten about the few stripes. He talking about the rest. Those who are in the Koinonim position are held to a higher standard in Abba Yah. And that's not me. That's his word. That's not none of them over here. If you ask any of them, they didn't choose it. They didn't jump up there and say, yeah, I want to be held to a higher standard for I'm your man. No. Throughout the years, eventually Abba Yah chose these men. And they said, yes, I will. They agreed to it. Through much trials and tribulations, trust me. Through much trials and tribulations. 10. So as to make a distinction between the set apart and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and to teach the children of Israel all the Torah which Yahweh has spoken to them by the hand of Moshe. That is the Father's business. To teach the children of Israel all the Torah. To make sure the children of Israel to know unclean and clean. To know the difference between profane things and unprofane things. To know what's right from wrong. One more, and then we go into the meat of the word, fam. No, we got two more, and then we get to the meat of it. That is going to Nehemiah 12:30. So we'll take a note. And this is around about the time that they are rebuilding the second temple. And Levites cleansed themselves, and they cleansed the people and the gates and the walls. Cleansing, a purifying. Helping, first and foremost, to cleanse ourselves, to purify ourselves, and purify and helping to cleanse the people. Of what? Of what we've been talking about for the last half hour. Being on all these other stations, having all these human experiences that have developed us for however long we've been living, and all the things that we have put our hands to that kept us away or took us down different paths and have not had us on the path of salvation. And even those of us who have been on the road of salvation still need to be purified in some areas of our lives if we are honest with ourselves first and foremost. So those who are on the road of salvation have to be purified in many areas in their life. Many. So we go through a lot, to put it plainly. We go through the shaping and the molding so Abba can see his reflection. We get tore down as the potter. We get smashed over and over again because we first have to purify ourselves and then help the people to purify. People have to be open and honest, as well as the Kohanim must be open and honest. You must be available. And I'm not talking about present in the sense of always being present. Available spiritually, available to be approached that way for someone to be open and honest with. This one thing that I would say, it ain't a day go by, a week go by, I'm going to put it in the week, that someone is not spilling their thoughts to me. Someone is not telling me things. I'm like, hey, what made them start talking to me? Why are they opening up and telling me? But I know and understand. It's the spirit of Yahweh. I ain't even give me no credit. It's the spirit of Yahweh that they see. And I'm able to, through the spirit of Yahweh, give them the advice that they need or just that ear. Through the spirit of Yahweh. Man, it takes no credit for that. I'm going to uplift Yahweh Shore for that 100 out of 100 times. And that's when you know you're available. When random strangers just start talking to you, start opening up to you. Because you're able, they're able to pick up on whatever spirit, they don't know what it is about you, but they know something about you that makes them put their guards down, that makes them comfortable with you to be able to sit and tell them whatever's going on in their life. Like we talked about a few weeks back, I don't know neither one of them people who tell me about their life story and the time. In fact, I haven't seen neither one since the lady or the man about their time was up. They had 6 weeks for that. One was happy about it, and one was afraid. But the people must see that you are open. You are available. And think about that. We can't move over that. We got to break that down. We got to. People know when we're hiding things. People know when there's something wrong and we have guarded, right? That's why I love Gershom Ben Daniel so much and Rabbi Yaakov. It's so open. And just so to just lay their lives down and tell you everything. Not everything. Not everything. But the more, as a moray, as a priest, as a teacher, that we open up and be available, the more the people will open up and be available. And those who know who sat and talked to Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, he was able to talk to Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel about anything. Anything. And you walked away. Even though you went in that door, you know you was wrong and your head was low. But when you came out that door, your head was high. You had no problem going back apologizing. Apologizing at all. To whoever you got into an altercation with, whoever you was arguing with, maybe your spouse, maybe your coworker, maybe another brother and sister, you had no problem going back. Because the way the wisdom and the openness about him. And Rabbi Yaakov out the same way. Go to him and talk to him about a problem and see the wisdom that Abiyah has given him and how you feel walking away. I know from my experience, I've always walked away like, okay, you're right, Rabbi, and still being apologetic to whoever or whatever the situation that I was in, because I may have went in there hard, like I know what it was. I ain't apologizing nothing. But when the Spirit of Yahweh starts talking to you, and you yearn to be in right standards with Yahweh, you're going to drop them guards, and you're going to do what I've asked you to do, because that's who's asking you, not Brother Yaakov, not Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel. That's who's talking through them, even with the rest of the Marais, when they are giving judgment, is Abba Yah using them to pass judgment? Is Abba Yah using them to deliberate over these cases that we will have throughout the congregation? It's not them. They in the stead of Abba Yah. Abba Yah is using them. And he is speaking through them. As long as they're on the right channel, as long as they're listening to the voice of Abba Yah. But being available is being open to the people and letting them know that whatever you bring to me, first and foremost is in confidentiality, and it would remove no threat from it. It shouldn't even, if you went and told a priest anything about your business, I'm going to say it now, the priest even told his wife he's out of order, and Abba Yah would deal with him. Because it shouldn't be. Because who is between you, the priest, and Abba Yah? That priest shouldn't even go tell his wife something that you have told them within secrecy. Because when Abba Yah, especially if it's a married couple, I see this. We ain't going to move past. There's a married couple having a marital problem. And what is the three chord thing, right? The husband, the wife, Abba Yah. Right? That's the three chord span, right? That's what the scripture talks about, the three chords, right? And when that priest is counseling that married couple, it's between them. Why? Because in that state, they are in the state of Abba Yah. What you will see down there, where you think all of them get it from? Where you think the courts of the world get their proceedings from? Abba Yah. They've been looked in the word and say, okay, this is how this is supposed to be done. But we're going to tweak it here. We're going to put our little spin on it. But it's between the priest and the married couple. It's between the priest and whoever he or she came and told them something. Unless they have spoken to some, that person has spoken to someone else. But we know the humanity of people. We talk. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And Abba Yah again will hold us, those who are in charge, accountable for that. And, well, let's say, let's move forward and we do better. Let's ask Abba Yah for forgiveness. If we have, I don't know if you have or not. Let's ask Abba Yah for forgiveness. And as we live in this human experience, we get closer to him. And we remove these things. And we try to do better within Abba Yah's word. That's what we started off talking about. For those who strive to live righteously. And again, we're in that mirror box. We're in that glass house with mirrors all over. That's where we at. In this lesson, we in that mirror box. Everywhere we look, if we look down, we see us. If we look to the right, we see us. Left, up, sideways, diagonally, wherever way you look, you're going to see yourself. That's where we at with this lesson. Abba Yah is personal to each and every one of us, even to me. It's a personal lesson to be about our Father's business. One more time, Nehemiah 12:30. And the priests and Levites cleansed themselves, and they cleaned the people and the gates and the wall. Let's move on to Yochanan 5. And, you know, it was beautiful for me. And Abba Yah opened this up to me the other day. We talked about it at class the other night. Yochanan 5, starting at verse 45, going down to verse 47. And it's funny how Abba does that. And I sat down and I got a chance to put the lesson together Tuesday. I wanted to sit down and Abba said, all right, I got you ready? All right, you ready to hear? You on the right channel? Yes, Father, I'm on the right channel, hopefully. I got a chance to sit down and I always go to verse 40, 46 and 47 and looked at 45 and something jumped out at me. Cause when I read it, okay. And Abba Yah opened my mind and read this many a time, so we're going to talk about it right now. Still in the same thought, though. Still about our Father's business. As we following the story, even from number one, or we go back to one, we at four now. Following the journey that Abiyah had before. Do not, and this is Yahushua talking to the elders, the Pharisees of Israel, right? The elders of Israel at the time. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moshe, in whom you have set your expectation. And that right there stuck out to me. Because, you know, who we always hear about, the accuser of the brethren, right? Who is the accuser of the brethren? Which is true. Hillel, Satan, the devil, the opponent, however you want to call him, he is the accuser of the brethren. This is something else right here. But when Yahushua, when you sit back and you think about it, you hear it, you shema it, you analyze it. You let it go in and out of that spirit of yours, right? We don't just read over it. He's talking to people who believe that they are doing the right thing within Torah, who will believe that they are Torah keepers. Listen to what he said, as in whom you have set your expectation in. Right? And just a little sidebar real quick. One of these proud, not that I'm picking on them, one of these just proud Jewish people. They're so proud in being Jewish. This is one of the same ways, they're not Jewish, that Israel felt. They only took the spirit of Israel. Israel had this pride that they were this set-apart nation. They was this nation that the Most High chose. So instead of being humbled about it, they was prideful about it. And in their pride, they wasn't even serving him. In their pride, they wasn't even keeping Torah. But you see that in a lot of Jews, right? And you also see that in our angry cousins, in the pride of coming to know who they are. And when you really know who you are, come humble. That's how you know they don't know who they really are. Because when you really know who you are within Abba Yah, who you are within Yahweh, you become humble. You don't become arrogant. You don't become walking around with your head held high and you have this status in this world. No, it's not about a status in this world. It's about an understanding and who you are showing in this world. We showing forth Abba Yah. We are about his business. That's what it's about. Arrogance. And I see them all day, every day down the hospital. And when they see me, they see my brother Mario with the deeps on. Their eyes go crazy. They just, like, they saw a ghost. And one was so arrogant yesterday. He led so arrogant yesterday. We all sitting at the table. Me, Marielle, Harbell, one of the sisters that come to find out she was born and raised this way, the brother James, brother William. We all sitting at the table. This white guy sitting at the other table, he been watching us for the longest time. He got the nerve to get up and say, can I ask you guys a question? I've been watching y'all for the longest time, but I was waiting to get up the nerve to come and ask y'all a question. What is it with this, what y'all got on? I see y'all have the life on. He pointed at Keith. He pointed at me because we got our cars on. We on display all the time because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be on display so people can ask questions. See, y'all have the life on. What is it? Y'all fascinated? And this is his words, man. I'm not making this up. The brothers will tell you. Are y'all fascinated about the Jewish religion? Are y'all trying to be Jews? Y'all know me. He came to the wrong table asking that question and being condescending like that. I don't know what my brother's going to say, but y'all know he's coming to the table over there with me going to say some foolishness out of his mouth like that. And I'm not going to stand up and defend Abba Yah and open my mouth. Oh, no, I almost say H-E-L-L. Is you crazy? was born like this. We are Hebrew Israelites. We're not trying to be Jewish. Oh, and he even had to say, I said, we wear the zitz because it's commanded in the Torah. That's why we wear these. It's commanded for us to wear these each and every day. Oh, well, I see the, because I'm from California, I see the good white Jewish guy. Just listen, and I'm not making it up. The good white Jewish guy wear them all the time. But I'm telling you, he can't do the right table. Because he got the right brother. I'm going to defend Abba Yah's word. If you come sideways, that's all right. You can come condescending. I ain't got to get ignorant with it in the way that you ignorant. Abba Yah done gave me a wit about me to be able to tell you about yourself without getting indignant with you. And I thank Abba Yah for that. But the argument that the brother had, we fascinated with the Jewish religion. Oh, and it just ate me. But I kept my cool, and I smiled, and I was able to use the wisdom of Abba Yah. No, son. Now, that's not it. Remember one time me and Mario, we was out in Nordstrom's Rack. This is when we first came in. We first started wearing the Zeke. We had the car on, and we saw this white Jewish lady and her husband, and she looked at me and Marielle, and she laughed at us and said, "Oh, that's so funny. Look at them wearing that as if it's a costume that we wear." And I simply told her, "We don't wear this for no costume, miss. This is commanded for us." Probably said some other things too, but I can't remember. I'm quite sure I did. But come ignorant like that, disrespecting because and you're arrogant. And that's what Yahushua dealt with. That's the, how they came at him, as if they were it, and he is not. So listen to what he said. Do not think I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moshe, in whom you have set your expectation. That Torah, everything that you claim, is the Torah that is going to accuse you. It is the Torah that is going to get you. Because you believe you got expectation in it, and you're not even keeping it. For if you believe Moshe, you would have believed me, since he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? He killed two birds with one stone. For those who believe in him, but don't believe in Moses, you can't believe in me, because you don't believe in Moses. And for the Israelites that don't believe in Yahushua, you cannot believe in the Torah. You don't believe in me. Same Torah that you think you keep it is the same one that's going to accuse you, the same one you're going to be judged by when the books are open. Same one that you have high expectations in is the one that Abba is going to open up and go line for line, word for word with you. You that you don't keep Torah. And you think you keep Torah. But that's the thing that's going to judge you. That's the one that's going to accuse you to the Father. Because how you living. And that goes for all of us. When we out of line. The Torah is the one who will accuse us to the Father. It's the words of Yahushua, it's not my word. Now we got to one more, and we out of here for the night, family. Nehemiah, back to Nehemiah 13, last chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to listen to the brother. You know, he's about his father's business, and it's about bringing things back into order of Abba Yah before that second temple, for that second temple is finished, right? You know, we might have one more successful. On that day was read from the book of Moshe in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the assembly of Elohim forever, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, and hired Balaam against them to curse them, although our Elohim turned the curse into a blessing. Amen. And it came to be, when they had heard the Torah, that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. If we're going to bring it up today, family, because you know our angry cousins, they will go use this verse right here. For this verse right here, yes, it would have been in this time, in ancient times. Yes, it meant if you wasn't a natural-born Israelite, you separated them. Yes. But what Yahushua did, breaking down the middle wall of partition, as Brother Shaul read, we got to take the whole book. It's not the old or the new, which is the Torah, is what's going to judge us. It's the whole book is the Torah. The whole book is Torah, right? So once you accept Yahushua, you are a part of Yisrael. What tribe you in, we don't know. Right now, we ourselves don't know what tribe we're in, unless we just say we are in the tribe of Judah because we are born or have been baptized in the name of Yahushua, who is in Yahudi. And that means the whole nation is Yahudi, the nation of Yah. If you can understand it, if you need a little bit more clarity, let me know. I might have to send you some breakdown on that. And before this, Elisheba, the priest, having authority over the storeroom of the house of Elohim, was a relative of Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offering, the frankincense, and the utensils, and the tithe of grain, the new wine, and the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the gatekeepers, the contribution for the priests. But in all this, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, sovereign of Babel, I came to the sovereign, and after some days I asked leave from the sovereign to return. And I came to Jerusalem and learned of the evil which Elisheba had done for Tobiah, in preparing a room for him in the court of the house of Elohim, was very displeasing to me. Therefore I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. And this is one brother who, having the zeal of Phinehas, having the zeal of Matthias, right, Matthias, standing up for the house of Yahweh, or other words, for the word of Yahweh, Brother Nehemiah. And I commanded them to cleanse the room, and we started off with Elisheba. He's doing a favor for his family member. You can't do favors for family. And he's a priest, doing something out of order, being a respecter of person. We can't be that way. There is no respecter of person in Abijah. We treat everybody with the love of Yahweh. And if you ain't the priest, you don't belong up in there. That told us today. It was, we're going to take with Romans 7:14, for the law is spiritual. The spiritual understanding, what we can glean from that today. There's so many that's in the house of Yahweh that should not be Yahweh. And it got to be cleansed. It got to be cleaned up. Many in the house saying that Yah is my good, because that's what Tobiah means. And it's funny, right? Because that's my middle name. I was like, oh, my, I'm nobody, so what? You teach that anyway. You teach that anyway. Okay, Paul, got to be about your business. There's many that's in the house of Abba, or in these houses, believing that they teach it, or ordained to teach Abba Yah's word. And it got to be cleaned up, even in the Israelite community. more so in the Israelite community than any other, because Abba ain't worrying about the other community. And I commanded them to cleanse the room, cleanse the room, and I put back into the utensils of the house of Elohim with the grain offering and the frankincense. And I learned that the portions for the Levites had not been given them for each of the Levites and the singers whom did the work who have gone back to his field. Then I contended with the deputy rulers and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. And all Yehuda brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. And I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse Selemia, I hope I pronounced that right, man. Forgive me. Zodok, the scribe, Pedaiah of the Levites. And at their hand was Hanan, the son of Zakur, son of Mattaiah, for they were reckoned trustworthy, and it was on them to distribute to their brothers. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this, and do not wipe out my loving commitment that I have done for the house of my Elohim and for its charges. In those days, I saw in Yehuda those treading wine press on the Shabbat and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, and figs, and all kinds of burdens when they brought into Yerushalayim on the Shabbat day. So I warned them on the day they stole food. And men of Zoar dwelt there, bringing in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them in on the Shabbat to the children of Yehuda and in Yerushalayim. Again, on the Shabbat. The business that we are doing on the Shabbat, that we're allowing others to do on the Shabbat. About his father's business. Then I contended with the nobles of Yehuda and said to them, what evil matter is this that you are doing, profaning the Shabbat? Did not your fathers do the same? Our Elohim brought all this evil on us and on this city, yet you bring added wrath on Yisrael by profaning the Shabbat. And it came to be when the gates of Jerusalem was shaded before the Shabbat, that I commanded the doors to be shut and commanded that they should not be opened till after the Shabbat. And I stationed some of my servants at the gate so that no burdens would be brought in on the Shabbat day. And the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares spent the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. Who they point to? Those unclean spirits waiting for us after Shabbat, waiting for us to pick back up those burdens, that mindset to not take what we have learned on the Shabbat and take it forward and make it a part of our human experience, and our human experience become a living Torah experience in this world. But the merchants, they waited for the Shabbat to be open. Those evil spirits, they wait. When those guards is down, those gates are open. And we ain't guarding those gates. They waiting for us. Things back up. After the Shabbat. Even some of us on the Shabbat. And the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares spent the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. And I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Shabbat. That's it. They didn't know how to think they got a slang. I'm going to lay hands on you. No. Abiyah said that long time ago. He said that way before they came into thought. I lay hands on you, baby. Boy, keep acting the way you act. Go to the brother. Spirit. In spirit, we got to do the same thing. I rebuke you in the name of Yahushua. Hands on you. Rebuke you in the name of Yahushua. So soon after the Sabbath, or just before the Sabbath is over, I rebuke you, said Satan. Commanded the Levites, the Levites, that they should cleanse themselves, and they should come, guarding the gate, to set apart the Sabbath day. Remember me, O Elohim, concerning this also, and pardon me according to the greatness of your loving commitment. I'm going to set up these priests, the Levites. But we know, understand today, it's the priests, to guard the gates of the city. Guard the gates of the people. Cleanse yourself first. Father, forgive me for any of my transgressions. I learn how to pray for ourselves. In those days, I also saw Yahudim who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Yehuda, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. That was us. Married to Halal. Not knowing who our father was, who our language was. If we're going to bring it up to date, scripture live for us today. Think about that. They didn't even know how to speak Hebrew. The children of Israel didn't even know how to speak Hebrew, but spoke to other people's language. Message. Then I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear by Elohim, saying, you do not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourself. Did not Shlomo, sovereign of Israel, sin because of them? Among the many nations, there was no sovereign like him who was beloved of his Elohim, and Elohim made him sovereign over all Israel, even him, born women. Caused to sin. Huh? Born women caused him to sin. Well, unclean spirit. These false doctrines today, even if your mind is on another woman, causes him to sin. Stepping on my toes. Family, please believe when these Marais sitting there speaking and teaching that Abiyah is dealing with them first. Don't take these, take the lesson personally. But don't think that they just sitting up here speaking across the airways. And they directing it straight to you, straight towards you. But if it's hitting straight towards you, that means Abiyah is seeing you. That means Abiyah is trying to get you back right. So you take that personal. You take that as Abiyah chasing you. Don't take it personal and go the other way and get hard-headed, stiff-necked. Humble yourselves and repent, as we all must. And we just read what the brother did. As he laid all those charges, and forgive me, Father. We got to start following these examples that are set before us. That's why we are always getting knocked off. We're not following the examples. We're not hearing the words that are being spoken by these Marais. Coming a part of us until hardship is coming on us. We must follow the examples. Because Halal ain't giving up. Satan ain't giving up. We read in the book of Levi, that all the unclean spirits daily are coming after us. Daily coming after us. We've got to follow the example, humbleness, repenting, stand on the right channel. Not getting that mind all clogged up and fogged up, and we can't hear because we're on some other channel, or the channel just going static. You ain't hear nothing. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, trespassing against El Elohim by marrying Saul's wife and one of the sons of Yaodad, son of Elisha did? The high priest, I'm sorry, if I tore that up. The high priest was a son-in-law of Sanballat, the Hornite, and I drove him from me. Remember them, O my Elohim, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus I cleansed them from all that is foreign, and I appointed duties to the priest and the Levite, each in his task, and for the wood offering and the first fruits at appointed times. Remember me, O my Elohim, for good. Amen. Remember that I'm about your business. Remember that. And we go back up again. We got our angry cousins and a couple of those who believe that you can't marry a woman outside of Israel. And again, Elohim. If they're not a natural born, if they blue, right? We ain't got blue people. But if they blue, let's just go with that blue, green, gray, whatever. They keep in Torah. They doing what Abiyah they do. They are an Israelite. They are grafted in. You don't understand it? Read Romans 11. Romans 11, chapter 11, will explain that about the two olive trees, the wild one and the tame one. One that was wild, it had no father, no husband, and the tame one had one. Read it for yourself. And if you need a Marie to sit down and break it down with you, or a brother and sister, ask them to sit down with you, break it down, because we want understanding. We want to know plainly throughout it. I would not have you ignorant. I would don't, and it's plain and simple, I would don't want no dumb kids. He don't want us to be dumb. He want us to know. And us sitting back, not asking questions, not having thoughts and all that, and not sharing it, that's not what Abiyah wants. Abiyah wants you to talk. Open up. Speak. He don't want no dumb. He don't want no dumb. And then we ain't talking about the world's wisdom. Because he said he take the foolish. He take the simple of the world. Not those with all the letters behind the name. Not those who have the greatest IQs and all that. No, the simple man, the simple woman. And I will give them my spirit. They will confound the wise of this world. So we ain't talking about in this world education. He's talking about to his word, the understanding of his word. He don't want us to be ignorant, family. He want us all to know, and not just to know his word, to know him, which is his word, and give us his word so we can know him. His word is just a stepping stone to a relationship with him, if you can understand that. You use that for a stepping stone with relationship with him. One more scripture, family, and that's Matityahu 10. I forgot why I had that down there, but I'm going to read it. Matityahu 10, 16 and 17. Okay, all right, I got it. See, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the Sanhedrin and flog you in their congregation. Amen. But 16 is the very door. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And that is the end of my blog talk tonight, family. And you know what, I guess sometimes Abiyah, he wants you to go through that. You got that fire. I noticed that about me and how he uses me. I did notice that. Yeah, I know how to get you, Ariel. I got you. I know exactly where to put you at, what state of mind to put you in, and what emotions that be running through. I got you. But thankfully that he held me on. He would not let me put his word down tonight. I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and chalk this one up as a loss, and I'm going to see the brothers and sisters next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tola Aliyah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Yah, for giving us the Shabbat day, Father, for opening the door, Father, for allowing us to come in and sup with you, Father, Yah. Father, Yah, I ask and pray for your Marais tomorrow, Brother Daniel, Brother Harbell, Father, that you, whatever you have to do, Father, Yah, to bring the word out of them the way you want the word brought out of them, Father, do it, Abba, Yah. I will now pray that you remove the adversary no more, Father, because come to understand why you allow us to go through these things, Father, because there's a certain way you want your word brought out, Father. So however you want, Father, it is your will, Father. Use them in your way, Father, in any way, Father, so your word can be brought out the way you want your word to be brought out, Father. Whatever state of mind they're in, Father, strengthen it, Father. Whatever physical or any ailment, strengthen them, Father. Whatever adversary coming after them, Father, put a sword in their hand, Father. Let them fight for themselves, Father, that they be fit, Father. That is all as Israelites, put a sword in our hand and fight for ourselves, Father. So we know when we stand on your word, Father, that he will run from us, Father, that our names are written in your book, Father. I'll continue, and I ask and pray for all those who are ailing in Beth Yahweh and in the nation of Israel, Father. They know who they are, Father. You know who they are. And Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.
I'm here. Oh Lord, I'm here. Just tell me what you want me to do. A long time ago I promised to never let nothing separate me from your love. I'm yours, I'm yours. Oh Lord, I'm yours. Please tell me what you want me to do. Oh, said I'm yours, yeah. I'm yours. Said I'm yours. I'm yours. Please tell me what you want me to do. See, a long time ago, I vowed until they pulled the dirt on me to let nothing, Lord, separate me from your love. Oh, 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 oh. Separate me from your love. Not my kids, nor my wife, or nothing that happens in this life.
A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy, holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him.
of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and to be. My Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's
for my people.